Case number 12-1485, Village of Barrington, Illinois, Petitioner v. Surface Transportation Board, et al. Mr. Streeter for the petitioner, Mr. Hunt for the respondents.
May it please the court. After this court affirmed the board's award of grade separation relief to Aurora and Lindwood, Barrington evoked the board's oversight jurisdiction, seeking an additional mitigation in the form of a grade separation at the U.S. Route 14 crossing. As a result of the way the case has been handled to date, this is the only U.S. highway that is not going to be grade separated on the former EJ&E line. It is a strategic regional arterial, which was never noted by the board throughout the proceeding in the original case. That is because it is one of the primary routes that leads from downtown Chicago to the upper northwest portions of the state of Illinois.
Would you very early on address the jurisdictional problem in this case?
Yes, I will.
I mean, before we can reach the point of deciding the merits of the case, we have to decide whether we can.
All right. I believe that your jurisdiction lies under the reasoning expressed in both Yost and the Fritz case. We presented new evidence that had not been before.
That is where the question is. What is the evidence that you could not have presented, that you did not and could not have presented at the original proceeding?
Let's just put it this way. The peak period visum came at the very tail end of the proceeding. It was a bolt out of the blue. There was nothing that could have been done at that point in the 13 days before the final decision came out. And indeed, in the next 30 days after that, it took a while to reverse engineer to figure out exactly what had been done with this peak period analysis.
But you did, you're talking about the original proceeding, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But you did do a traffic study.
We did. We had done a full-scale 24-hour BISM analysis, mm-hmm. which clearly showed that we met every one of the, or we met the queue length, and we met the total delay standards.
That was submitted in the original.
That was submitted in the original.
So you were able to do a traffic study. It was submitted, came up to our court. We said it was came up, that didn't come up till the reply brief. So that part is done.
That part is done.
So what's so you're saying that that study was not able to take into account the kind of analysis that the agency was doing because it didn't have enough time?
That analysis was based on 24 hours. Mm-hmm. The board came up with this, what we call a bastardized version of VISM, which if you look at our reply brief, page 11 and 12, we've listed about 9 or 10 different ways in which it failed to account for the actual total delay. Now, what's interesting about the board's approach here.
Wait, just to stick, if you can, to Judge Santel's question. So we're trying to figure out what's new about this. So you have a new study, and what you're saying is the new study does respond to the VISM.
It does respond to the peak hour analysis. Uh-huh. And what it did is it showed that it was totally misleading, inaccurate, and simply wasn't going to... Inaccurate, incomplete, and misleading.
And I think that it also involves time that occurred after, period of time, it took place after the initial here decision. So it couldn't have been done before because it's a different period. So another reason that this new study that you've done is new and not something that you could have done before is that it evaluates traffic later than the original hearing, is that right?
It's both cases. I mean, we evaluated in terms of the later, what had happened after the CN had taken over the railroad and had begun its actual operations.
Why wouldn't that theory ease the rule? I mean, in every case where you lose, come to court of appeals and lose again, you'd always go back and say, well, we made a new study in later time, therefore, we can come back and get another bite at the apple.
We'd be happy to stay with the older version because it showed even more hours. What we did is in doing the new one, we actually were very honest with the board. We came up first with 116, and then CN said, wait a minute, you made an error. We corrected our error at that point and brought it back down to 98.
So even if it is new evidence, you have a new study that is worse than your previous study, that is, doesn't show as bad traffic. And if the earlier study wasn't enough to convince the agency, why would we... Why was it, given our very narrow standard of review, even for new evidence, why would we not defer to the agency's decision that a study that shows only 98 to 100 hours...
When your standard is 40 hours under the federal highway regulations or guidelines...
But that's an argument about what you think the agency should have done before with its respect to its standards. Your new evidence is not as good as your old evidence, is that right?
It may not be, but the problem we have with the peak period analysis is it led the board to come up with this thing about the 4 to 5% increase on a regional basis, and that was the part that we had no opportunity to respond to because it was the first time in the entire proceeding on December 5 that it ever surfaced. We thought the board had seen our evidence that showed actually 135 to 205 hours of total delay. That was never mentioned. Instead, they focused solely on the peak period VISM analysis.
Did you object to that? So that was in the original decision, correct? What you're saying now. It's part of the original decision.
Yes.
And you appealed that.
Yes.
On that ground?
No.
Why not?
Number one, last part of their brief today is that you didn't raise it before the agency. We didn't raise it before the agency because apparently they couldn't figure out exactly what had happened. There was no opportunity to dig into the problem and to come up and figure out what was going on here.
Did you object when you came in your appeal to this circuit? Did you raise this issue?
We did not.
Then why? I don't understand why you didn't raise it then.
Your Honor, I represented Aurora at the time.
I do not mean you personally.
All right.
Your party.
Yeah, my party.
Why wasn't it raised then?
Honestly, do not know. We have debated that with the client, and the only thing we can figure is that he didn't raise it before the agency. He knew if he came to the court and raised it in the opening brief, the government is going to sit there and say, "Oh, you didn't raise it before the agency. You waived it." So, unfortunately, what happened is that the government came up with an argument, and all of a sudden, counsel realized that, "Hey, wait a minute, that doesn't fly." So then they brought it up as a reply.
All right. So I understand, but that problem is a material error problem, right?
It is.
So that now we get back to Judge Santel's question, which is this court and the Supreme Court have both held that we have no jurisdiction to review an agency's decision not to reopen when the claim is material error, right?
In the absence of new evidence.
Yes. So the new evidence is your new study, is that right?
That is correct.
Okay, so just to be clear then, the only thing we have jurisdiction to focus on is this new study.
It is the new study.
That's the only thing.
That is.
I see.
The unfortunate part about it, though, is in the board's decision, it never really addresses what we put in. It constantly goes back to the study that we think that we have totally discredited. And they adhere to that and say, well, it's still the 4 to 5%. Wait a minute. If you're going to do something right, at least make an effort to do it.
Well, the board's response in part, just so I'm clear about this, and I know you dispute this, but is that originally in the proceeding, the village criticized the board's 2008 study. And one of the criticisms was it failed to take into account peak hours. So the agency then decided to do another study on peak hours, and it focused on the results of that study in its initial decision.
There was never any request that look only at 2 hours of the day.
No, I'm not saying that, but as I understand, part of the board's response is that your criticism of its peak analysis emphasis ignores that your client raised the objection to the initial study that was done on the grounds it didn't focus on peak hours. So they did focus on peak hours.
Put it this way, they focused on peak hours and ignored everything else. And the reason that they asked them to look at peak hours in the first place is that the rudimentary standard or methodology that the board used in the original case is they assumed that from 12 o'clock at night till 11:59 the following day, the same amount of traffic was going through on a uniform basis. That is not the way to do a traffic analysis. The VISM program makes it very clear that it takes into account every second of the day where people are turning, how long they're stopped, how long they're held up. The boards didn't do that. So when we asked them, look, take a look at the peak period too, that was a request really to get away from this uniform scale that is randomly applied. It doesn't work in a little community like Barrington where you have 70 trains a day going through on the Union Pacific. You've got now up to 16 going across on the CN, and it's going to grow. In order to reply to the problem, you have to use the best methodology possible. The board didn't do it. Then when they had the opportunity on reopening, they refused to do it again. And instead they said, you have only 39 hours or whatever it was of total delay. That went back to the original DEIS study, which again, we challenged, and we feel that if they're going to do their job, make them do it. They're getting paid to do it. Why can't they do an analysis that is fair to the citizens of Barrington?
So just anticipating what the board is going to respond is that all of this could have been brought to the board's attention initially, and your response is, no, this is new evidence to the extent we are analyzing the board's peak hours study and providing actual data of what's happened now that CN has been running on the tracks for 2 years.
Yes.
That's the new evidence.
That is the new evidence, and that's what the people of Barrington are going to have to live with for the rest of their lives. It's not what the EJ and the E did in the past with 3 or 4 trains
a day. No, let's not get diverted. There are other ways. I just want to be clear here. It's that looking at the JOST language, there was no time, and your client was unable to figure out what the peak study was doing in sufficient time to seek reconsideration by the board at that time?
That is part of our response, yes. That is exactly what happened. Furthermore, they've suggested, you could have asked for a supplemental EIS. The Illinois delegation asked for it on the 15th of December, and the board somehow managed to get it into footnote 77 just a few days later and said, we've heard the public, we've taken care of their concerns, we're not going to take another look at this. So to suggest that now that we should have somehow gone in and done our own supplement, a request for supplemental EIS after we read footnote 77, it would have been futile. So therefore, we chose to wait and see. Another thing, waiting to see if the Court of Appeals is going to uphold the board's decision. And it did on the grant of mitigation in the form of grade separation. These are taxpayers. A small town. Aurora is the second largest city in Illinois. And yet, what we finally showed is that the actual impact, and if the board had taken a look at our evidence, they would have realized that they have treated Barrington in one fashion and they've treated Aurora in another. They treated Aurora correctly. They did not do that to Barrington. I guess you could say, as kind of like the previous case, Barrington is the victim of the STD.
We'll regard your petition as a victim impact statement.
Thank you.
If we could hear from the STB.
May it please the court, Ted Hunt on behalf of the STB and the United States. I want to begin today with to directly respond to what counsel has argued today in this court. Everything that counsel stated before this court today goes to the previous study that the board's consultant did in the fall of 2008. They are just simply criticisms of that study.
Well, can you pause over this? I'm not sure that I'm getting that. So they have a new study they've done which evaluates the actual effect on traffic so far. That, you may not like that study may make no difference to you, etc. I'm only stuck on the jurisdiction question for the right. moment.
Yes.
And assume for the moment that that study showed, you know, billions and billions of cars of traffic backed up for hundreds of days, evidence that wasn't available before because they didn't know what the effect was actually going to be. Why isn't that new evidence?
It's not new evidence because Barrington could have done that study before. They actually did do a projection of the total vehicle delay.
That's a projection, but this is afterwards, right?
Right. This was a projection as well, because what it did was it took a snapshot in 2011 of the existing traffic at that time, which was only one more train. Started out at five trains at the beginning of the transaction was being proposed. The projections and all the EIS projections were done to go to 2015, where there would be 20 trains on the line. When they took their snapshot, one more train.
Okay, so that's an argument that their snapshot's bad, and that's a good reason that even if it's new evidence, we're not going to reopen for that. And there's a good argument to the court, and you're supposed to be deferential about this, so they lose. I'm not on that question.
Okay.
I'm on the jurisdiction question.
Right.
One more train changes the facts from where it was before.
Okay.
Why isn't that at least new evidence, even if it's bad new evidence, it's right. still new evidence.
Right. I think, as the board explained in the decision, mm-hmm. Barrington had the opportunity to do a similar study for the Ogden Avenue of total vehicle delay in the fall of 2008. They chose not to do that, and they admitted this in their rebuttal, because it was a litigation decision. They thought it was very expensive and it was very risky. So
I don't see in the board's decision anything where they actually say it's not new evidence. They say, even if they state CN's argument that it's not new evidence, and then they say, even if it is new evidence.
Right.
I don't see anywhere where the board's evaluation is.
Right, page 14,
uh-huh.
It gets to the comparison evidence between U.S. 14 and Aurora.
That's a different issue.
Right.
Yeah.
That one I understand is not,
right.
I understand
right.
your argument. I'm too narrow here, but I'm only focusing just
right.
for the moment on this traffic study.
But that traffic study is part of the comparison evidence. It's the last row of their comparison, and that's how they make this comparison to the Ogden Avenue crossing. In fact, in their petition before this court for you, they never actually even appeal the earlier study. They never actually argue that these total vehicle delay numbers are new in and of itself. That shows that we deserve a grade separation. They don't argue that. All they argue is that in the context of their comparison to Ogden Avenue, we have these new total vehicle delay numbers. And the board acknowledges that these may be considered new because they do have that one additional train that's used to project out to 20. Again, it's not that different from 5, but the board explains that even if that is new evidence, Barrington had the opportunity to present a very similar study back in 2008, and it chose not to do so. But then the board goes on. I'm sorry.
It's not reasonable to say that if taking a new study is enough to make it new evidence just because of the passage of time, you could get around the jurisdictional rule in every single case simply by taking a new study with a new data.
Absolutely. We would be, next 6 months from now, Barrington's going to put into another study. And then when we get close to 2015, they're going to put in another step.
What if we get to 2015 and there are 20 more trains? Okay. And what if, instead of showing less traffic than they had showed before, now they do show huge amounts of new traffic, and they say, okay, we lost before, you made predictions, turns out you were wrong, here's our new evidence, reopen. You could still say no, but would you say that's not new evidence?
I think in that case, when you've gotten to the point where you've gotten to past the point of the projections that were done previously, you could argue that that could be new evidence at that point, because if there's a significant difference, now you have to have a material change in the facts and circumstances, and it has to be a significant change, that could be different. But here, where you're not even to the point where the projections are made, it's not new, it's just another way of saying what they could have done before. But what I will add, Your Honor, is that the board explains later on page 14 and 15, going over to 15, explains that even if this study has a little sliver of new evidence, and you look at the comparison points that they've pointed out between Ogden Avenue and US 14, 12 out of those 13 points are clearly information that was available to the Barrington previously. They're just trying to bring in all these material error arguments and piggyback it on that one sliver of evidence that they had, that one new train. But the board does go on to say on 15 that even if there's a new bit of evidence there, it would not mandate a different result in this case. There are significant differences between the US 14 crossing and the Ogden Avenue crossing. The first is the pre-existing congestion problem. At US 14, it is extremely severe in Barrington. It was in 2008. It was projected to get worse by 2015. And Barrington's own study, and this is what's pretty amazing, is that Barrington's own study shows that there will be 260 hours of additional vehicle delay by 2015 that's a result of pre-existing conditions, not additional CN trains. That's 2.5 times more congestion than the CN trains would cause. Compare that to Ogden Avenue. There's only 60 hours of total vehicle delay being projected by Barrington's own study. So that means it's 4.5 times.
I was trying to understand this just in my own head in a more simple way.
Sure.
All right. As I understand, part of the village's argument is, and I want to get back to this new evidence point, but it's that, take this as a hypothetical. Before CN had the right to use the Erie track, you had to wait 20 minutes at this intersection. After CN got rights to the track, you have to wait an hour and a half. So the village says, we want CN to take care of the excess over 20 minutes. And it does this study, and then it comments how the board study, by using this uniform traffic figure, is flawed, and the board ought to look at peak hours, because that's what's troubling these commuters trying to get into Chicago. So the board comes back and says, okay, we've done this peak hour study, and in fact, that only raises the numbers 4 to 5%. So we're going to approve the acquisition. I guess what I don't understand is it because of a litigation error that there is no way for the board, for the village, to get the board to look at what, in my hypothetical case, is clearly an impact that has affected the delay time only because of the railroad? I just want to understand that.
Okay.
Is there no way to get back before the board? So the village says, we want to get back to the board. We're going to do this new study, analyzing this peak hour study that came in at the last moment, and we only had 13 business days, and we had to have time to figure it out. So we figured it out. We have this new study. And while it doesn't show that we have to wait an hour and a half, It still says, where we only had to wait 20 minutes originally, now we have to wait an hour. So it's not as bad, you know, but it's still a delay caused, in my hypothetical,
right,
solely by the railroad. And, says the village, the board responded to other crossings where there was pre-existing delay. Maybe not as much as at US 14, but there was pre-existing delay. Mm-hmm. And it said the railroad had to take care of the additional delay it caused. Mm-hmm. So if that's the hypothetical situation where they have a study that's responding to something that they could not have responded to earlier, why isn't that sufficient new evidence?
Well, there's several answers to this, Your Honor. The way this worked was they, and I think counsel for Barrington misspoke this morning, they actually did appeal the issue of whether this was a correct peak hour study, whether that was correct or not. And they also criticized that study in many other ways.
Appeal to whom?
To this court. They did it, but they only talked about it in their reply brief. That was the main problem.
That's my point about their counsel error. Is there no way for the village to get back to the
board?
Sure.
They can come back to us, and they did come back to us. And we have the board has the ability to review any arguments that on reopening that a petitioner presents. The question is whether this court can then review
that. Understand.
Right. So they can come before us. And of course, if they had a study that showed that was all being caused by the railroad, then that might be a different story. That's not what's going on here. There is only 100 hours being caused.
No. Just deal with my hypothetical for a moment. It's
right.
The hypothetical where in other intersections the board said the additional delay caused by the railroad is sufficient to require the railroad to take some action. The village says, we just want to get back to 20
right.
minutes.
Well, they did that for Ogden Avenue because in Ogden Avenue there wasn't a pre-existing congestion problem that is nearly as severe as Barrington. And Barrington's own study shows that. It shows that there's only 60 hours of additional total vehicle delay by 2015, and there's 114 hours of delay being caused by the railroad. So the ratio is that way.
All right,
the ratio gets
flipped. It's difficult not to get the merits of the jurisdictional crossing, but your point is that in the 2008 proceeding, they had 12 of the 13 data points as to the comparison with Ogden Avenue.
Absolutely correct, yes.
And what should they have done to respond to the board's peak hour analysis?
They could have done many things. First of all, they could have done the modeling to show the total vehicle delay in Ogden Avenue.
Well, they said
they didn't have an opportunity.
13 business days wasn't enough.
Right, they say that, but they could do this modeling. They admitted it in their rebuttal and reopening by saying, you know, we could have done this, but it was costly and there was litigation risk involved. So if you say that, it's hard to say, well, I really didn't have an opportunity as well. But let's accept that they're making the argument they didn't have an opportunity. They could have asked the board for more time. They didn't do that. They could have asked this court for more time. They didn't do that. They could have asked this. They should have raised before this court the argument that they did not have enough time to respond to the board's study. They sued
the village,
previously, and they didn't do that.
The village's response is, let's deal with the real world. CN was pressing to get this approval fast. All right? Even the Illinois politicians couldn't get the board to stop. So, you know, we're a small village. You know, we're not going to hire 55 experts to do this on double overtime in order to get this within that small window of time to file a petition for reconsideration.
Well, that's our argument, and I think the respondents, we disagree with that because this model, they already had a model set up for Barrington. They could have run this model. It's not something that takes 6 months to do, and
the board is questioning the representation by the village that it could not complete this study in 13 business days.
I think that's part of our argument. Another part of the argument is that they actually could have appealed this to the court and said that they didn't have enough time to do it to present it to the board and made the same argument they're making today several years ago, and they didn't do it. What they did is they didn't say anything about this until their reply brief. That's when they mentioned the board study, and they got all hot and bothered about it and made up all sorts of arguments about that study. It's on pages JA 288 and about 10 pages beyond that. We put that in the record. of their reply brief. They didn't put any of this in their opening brief. They complained about the peak hour nature of the study.
That's water over the dam.
Right.
All right? I'm further on. I'm back where Judge Santel started this discussion.
Okay.
About our jurisdiction.
Right.
And basically, your point is that there just is, even though the board didn't say we're denying this because there's no new evidence.
In the context,
the board went on and dealt with the merits.
It did, because the board, I think, recognized that that you could argue that this has a sliver of new evidence. That 13th element could be a sliver of new evidence. But the board's view was that this was a study that they could have done before. They could have done this model in 2008. They didn't do it. So therefore, it really is not new evidence because it was readily available to them.
Well, here's what I'm just trying to understand. It's sort of, you can't be a little bit pregnant. If there's a sliver of new evidence, there's new evidence.
I acknowledge that, Your Honor. And so that's why the board went on to explain on page 15.
So the board is conceding that this new study by the village was new evidence. I just need to be clear.
I understand that, but I don't think I can concede that because that's not what the board said. The board said that they didn't believe this was new evidence because it was still a study that they could have.
No, they didn't say that. They didn't say it. That's what I'm trying to understand the board's position. I mean, you know, it's
okay.
Like where an agency says, you know, this is not new evidence, but even if it were new evidence, here's what
But
that's not what the board said.
Okay. On page 14, it says Barrington's comparisons of US 14 to Ogden Avenue is not new evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And then it explains that
the
key sentence is all the information presented in Barrington's comparison chart presented in its recent filings was available to Barrington either in the final EILs or elsewhere prior to the board's final decision, comma, with the exception of the last row of the chart.
Right. And so it then says
that
it goes
that
on
to row contains Barrington's calculations for increases in vehicle delay at US 14 and Ogden in 2015. So it's obviously wasn't available before.
Well,
that's not good enough to make a difference. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But the board did not say it wasn't new.
I think if it goes on to the next paragraph is a connector to that where it says.
Which paragraph are you looking at?
Barrington now suggests the third full paragraph on page 14.
Right.
So Barrington now suggests that it couldn't have done this because it was too costing, too risky, and then explains that that's a litigation strategy. So that's something that they could have done before. So it's a follow-up to the paragraph before, and explains that there is that one row that kind of looks, if you take a snapshot of it, that this could be new evidence. But Barrington's only saying in their rebuttal that they just didn't do this before because it was too costing, too risky. So it isn't new evidence. But again, I understand this is the jurisdictional question and. But I guess my point is if this is not clear to the court, the board did go beyond and looked at this, even if this were new evidence, and explained thoroughly on page 15 and beyond why this comparison between US 14 and Ogden Avenue did not mandate a different result because of the several differences between those two crossings, not just the pre-existing congestion. The vehicle exposure calculation was significantly different. That's a safety measurement that Federal Highways Administration does. And this Ogden Avenue is at 1.8 million. Threshold for considering a grade separation is 1 million. Not requiring, but considering. And US 14 was only at 690,000. Ogden Avenue's traffic is 50% greater than any other crossing on this line, including US 14 in Barrington. These are major differences between these crossings. So
how far is Ogden Avenue from US 14?
I don't know that off the top of my head, Your Honor. I mean,
I was just trying to think of this, like people who live in Montgomery County who take the Beltway. And then if there's a big delay on the Beltway, they can come down Connecticut Avenue, come down 16th Street, or even go round over to Northeast and come in through Pennsylvania Avenue. Nobody talks about that here. Looks as though, from the map that I see, US 14 is sort of a major, almost like a beltway artery, coming from the suburbs to downtown Chicago. Is that right?
I can't say whether it's a major artery. I think counsel for the petitioner has suggested that, and I do think it has a substantial amount of traffic. But
if you look at the map. All right?
Yes.
That's what I was trying to understand.
Right.
Whether that makes a difference. I mean, there's several things here. One, it's a small village. It's not a major Fortune 500 corporation litigating before the board.
I mean, the question that the board had to ask, there were 87 crossings on this EJ&E line. This was all litigated before, but there are 87 crossings on this line, and the board only awarded grade separations to two of them because grade separations are a very costly measure. They cost tens of millions of dollars, and it's not something that the board can award for all 87 crossings. And what Barrington's tried to do in this case is they've tried to change the question. The board looked at all these crossings and said, which ones of the crossings are substantially affected by this transaction? Which ones will have their traffic and their traffic congestion substantially altered by the additional trains that CN is going to put on here? And so it didn't just look at whether a grade separation would be beneficial to a particular crossing, because if that's all it looked at, of course it's going to remove the additional trains that CN's adding on. That's what a grade separation does. But the question has to be is this transaction substantially affecting the basic nature of the traffic congestion at these crossings?
And so it's just a question whether the state legislature floats a bond or raises taxes railroad pays?
Yes, because what Barrington's own study shows is that 2.5 times more vehicle congestion will show up by 2015 because of the pre-existing congestion problems around this crossing, not the trains that are being added by CN. It has problems where it has multiple signalized intersections around that crossing. It also has a UP Metro line that's south of that crossing that crosses EJ&E line. It also is too narrow. It has a growing vehicle demand of that on that line. More and more cars are using it. These are things that the railroad has not caused. So the board could not award a grade separation where the vast majority of this, over 70% of the vehicle congestion by 2015, is projected by Barrington's own study to be caused by the pre-existing congestion there and not the additional trains. That's why it's largely different from Ogden Avenue. I know I'm way over time here, so if...
Looking to see whether the court has further questions. No. Okay, thank you. Well, is there time for rebuttal? I'll give you another 2 minutes, please.
I suppose the other aspect of jurisdiction is if they're going to create oversight jurisdiction, doesn't this court have the jurisdiction itself to look at what they have done and to decide whether what they have done is properly explained?
Would that be consistent with the precedent? Would that be consistent with the precedent? We're talking about jurisdiction because the precedent that say that we don't look back over their shoulder a second time unless the new evidence for each other is met. And what you're saying now seems to be inconsistent with that.
No, I'm saying that as part of the oversight jurisdiction, we brought in what we believe is new evidence. And the board simply never really dealt with it. They twisted things. They took all kind of positions. They said things we didn't even say. Now, that, to me, is not the proper function of an administrative agency. And the other thing is, and the only thing I can conclude with, is that we don't feel we're asking CN to pay 1 cent to respond to our problems. The only thing we're asking them to do is to pay for the additional problems that they've dumped on us by buying the line and running the trains from 4 a day or 3 a day, whatever it was, to where we're going to be talking 20-plus trains, and that's on average. I'm aware of this, I'm going to get that, but we are at that point already. I mean, some days it's only 16, but the average is going to get up there, and the delay is going to increase, and it's not self-inflicted. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll take the case under submission.